Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Welcome to Empowerment 365. That's right, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's Marvin Rohn coming to you live and in color. My co-host Stan Macklin is along with me and a cast of colorful characters that will get you educated, motivated, stimulated, and empowered to find out what's going on in our community and make a difference right where we are. Today, the topic is, where do we go from here? And while I'm asking that question, I want you to consider the reality of this. The country is opening up. We don't have a political agenda. We don't have an economic agenda. Our families are somewhat dysfunctional. We're coming off of being lured into the belief of integration. And we're on the edge of trying to figure out how this thing is going to go for us. And so what we have to do today is get ourselves in a position to think about what it is that we're going to do to make a difference in our own lives and in our own community. But I'll start this discussion, and then I'll open it up to the audience. Stan, are you there?
I'm here, my brother. Good to hear you, man. Good to hear you.
Good to hear you, too. How's everything on your end?
All like everybody else, man. We're standing in the gap.
All right. Gap time. It's gap time. So the question today is, where do we go from here? We got a lot of issues to cover. I want to throw in a few things, and we're going to invite the callers that are on the line to join us as well. And it looks again as if the board is packed. So let's start with you, Stan. Where do we go from here? With companies, I mean, the country is, it is the business. The country is opening, and we're going to run right back out into 5 o'clock traffic to say, the American economy. What are you thinking?
Well, such a profound question, Marvin. Where do we go from here? I don't even think that the administration of the government knows the answer to that. Everybody's in an experimental stage simply because this invisible but yet visible pandemic is something that we've never experienced before quite like this. I mean, it's just, it's it is so so mind-blowing to the extent that it has surpassed all the records on the books of the so-called Great Recession of the 20s. It surpassed that. The unemployment rate has never been what it is in modern history. All records across the board is just broken, and it's like a new world is emerging. The things and the habits we used to have and operate, it's not going to be like that anymore. And I think that what's going to happen, I think that the posture that the administration is going to take is just to let people die. Let people die. Let it play out. And I think that's when it's going to get into the hundreds of thousands of people who have simply just died, because people, they don't have the patience to endure the tribulation. They don't know how to react in the midst of a crisis. And so the way that they feel to keep from losing everything in terms of the economy is just to let it go. Let people get back to doing what they like to do, and just let death be the reality. So I think that's a reality that we're going to see in the days ahead and yet to come.
Wow, that's a frightening reality. So let's open it up to the callers. The line is open. We got the board is stacked. So I got 9016, I got 5411, and I got the number in is 7789. What do you have for us today? Callers, talk to us. We are live and in color. So we got a little over 25 minutes. So let's try to be lean of expression and get to the point, and let's keep it moving. The board is now open for discussion. Talk to me, callers. Stanley Macklin and Marvin Roan is here live. What you got?
Hi, Marvin.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello. Hey.
Hi, Stan.
Hi. God bless you.
God bless you also. I was just thinking about with this statement about where do we go from here. Actually, I agree with you, Stan, 100%, because it's nowhere really we can go.
Right.
Back out to facing the demon that we are facing right now.
That's
so
true.
Actually, it's nowhere to go. But to only thing, as I being a believer, the only thing that I can say, only we got to keep continuing to go to the Lord. And he's the only one that can give us that cure for that virus that's out there. So that's just massive. It's nowhere really we can go. If we go, we step out, we still step out from where we started from into the same situation. So there's nowhere really to go. There's trust in trusting the Lord and let him lead us and guide us throughout this epidemic that he's going through.
Makes perfect sense.
All right. Thank you. Hang on in there because we got some more to come. Next caller. Caller, what do you have?
Marvin Roan, how you doing?
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
who we have on the line?
Salvin Roan, man. How's everybody doing today?
Hey. All right. We're doing good. What you got for me?
Just a quick comment. Stan said that he believes that this administration, you know, doesn't really understand or don't know where to go from here. And I just refuse to believe that. I believe most of the time it is an agenda, and they know exactly what they want to do. They just won't tell us. So the controlled population, people must die. That's just, you know, the fact of the matter. So, you know, it's always an agenda every few amount of years, whether it's, 9/11 or, you know, these wars. It's an agenda by the powers to be. So where do we go from here? You know, you just got to understand that you got to learn how to play the game. You know, just it's always an agenda, but it's usually about money at the end of the day. Since I've been, you know, researching history, it's power and it's money. So in order to play this game that they play, you got to be involved in this capitalistic society. You got to just understand we need to garner enough capital to be able to compete. So we can, you know, everybody can just, you know, be down and say, hey, look, you know, this pandemic is getting the best of us and we don't know what to do and be sad. Or we can just say, okay, let's create an agenda of our own and say, okay, how do we compete or play the same game that they're playing? That's just how I feel about it.
Well, that's a good response, Marvin, Alvin. In the midst of that, you got division even within the administration. You got the scientists and the health educators saying and wearing masks, and then you got the political, governmental leaders who are saying, let's get this economy going back in motion, that if we don't, we're not going to have anything. So the health experts have given, and that's the one who I'm kind of relying on, have said that they don't feel it's time for it to start the mass reopening. But anyway, of course, the people who have always believed in population control have always thought of pandemics or plagues or diseases or different things to eliminate people, period. And but this thing here, which is so out of our control, is that it's global. It's everywhere. It's beyond us. And with no sight of it ending to be seen. And so it seems like the most important thing for us to do is to have to let it ride, but in the meantime, try to do some precautions. But it's one game that I don't think I want to play. I don't want to play this game.
I don't think any of us want to play this game. It's a deadly game of chess with people. And I agree with the first caller, and I agree with you as well, Abby. We need God, but two, we need an agenda. We need a political agenda. We need an economic agenda, and we need a plan that's going to allow us to protect ourselves and at the same time develop a platform that helps us move this thing along, right? We're out there now, right? Everything is beginning to move again, and I'm just afraid that we're going to jump right back out there and do the same thing that we've been doing and become victims to the system again. Caller.
Absolutely.
And Alvin, I think you had something else. What did you want to say?
I just was going to say, to me, it's semantics. It's like, you know, you got good cop, bad cop. I think everybody's in it together. It's a big game. It's like some experts are pretending that, hey, this thing is, you know, it's not as bad, and somebody else says it's bad. And I just stopped watching the news because, obviously, it's like you don't know who to believe.
Right.
And that's just all I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, thank you. Let's keep the line open. Next caller, if you haven't chimed in, this is your turn. The line is open. Talk to me, caller.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Hey. Go for
it. Am I live? Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Yeah, I think moving forward, the agenda, I mean, you know, land is for sale. America's for sale. I mean, there's tons of farms for sale. If you see a lot of those lawns, I mean, back in the day, they used to have something during the war called Victory Gardens. You know, I mean, you got to be, you know, more self-sustaining. And and there are hundreds of acres of land for sale. You know, they come in cheaper than a $400,000 house for that short. That's for sure. So I think going back to the land, I mean, you got to have whatever you do economically, you got to have land. So,
it's always been
yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say, you know, but you gotta have land, you know, and it's, you know, I mean, I think Kanye West just bought some crazy amount of land out in Wyoming. You know, if I remember, it was either 600,000 acres or 6 million acres. I can't remember. So, you know.
Wow, that makes sense. Malcolm X said land is the basis for all economic independence, right? We didn't get our 40 acres and a mule out the deal. So where do we go from here, right? So I think, again, understanding the capitalistic model, understanding that system and coming up with agendas and platforms, like you talked about land and farms, right? I think we have to understand the system that's in place, right? The importance of farming and growing your own food, and that's going to be the key to survival along with economic development as well. What do you have, Stan?
Well, of course, it definitely takes a village. I mean, I've traveled around the world, and the village concept is reality. It just is generational, and I think we've gotten away from that. We've become urbanites, and we're too dependent upon the the structures to bring in our food and other different things. And so we're dependent on everybody else. And so we have to get back to be not to be afraid or to feel like you're suffering from some relapse because you get your hands dirty. Your hands dirty. Don't make you a slave to work your own land. Nobody have died from their own sweat. And so we need to have institutions, number one, that define our own reality. Quit trying to fit in the reality of other folk who have an agenda for us, like the previous gentleman talked about, which we don't know.
Can I add something? I was just going to say we have to remember, how the United States, got started, which was farming.
Mm.
Farming turned, into textiles, turned into factories, turned into clothing stores, turned into retail, and made people a lot of money. A matter of fact, it even had something to do with starting Wall Street. So,
yep.
Land is out there, man. I mean, 100 acres of land, under $100,000. I mean, the land is out there, tax benefits up, but you couldn't believe it, so it's there. The opportunity is all around us. We just the individualism that exists is not good for our community.
Right.
We have to have some type of collective economic effort. Without that, forget about it, man. It's just not going to work. The permanent underclass that's supposed to be happening in the next few years, it's real, and it comes from being individualistic, not having an economic agenda, not being producers. It's all right there for us to see, now what do we do? Now do we know this? Everybody's like complaining about organic food. I can't get organic food. Well, you got seeds, you got land, you got water, you grow your own organic food, you can't do too much of anything else if you can't feed yourself. So that has to be the first thing.
True.
So yeah, I really would like that. I would like more of us, to go back to the land. You can't go that direction, because everything else, and on top of that, if you buy land, the coolest thing about it, whatever you minerals, whatever, that's all yours. You have no idea what's on that land, water rights, that's all yours. That the families, and if you look back in the history of how the state started, a lot of people came from the Europe and other places. And, they were given free land. And a lot of those families later on after plantation days, the oil was discovered on the property. And, those families turned into very powerful families, because of those rights. So we're out there looking for opportunity in corporate America. Something just don't seem too right about that. It's almost like we've been bamboozled again, even though, it seems to be a constant, everybody's been telling black people the same thing for a very, very long time. We just don't want to listen. Now we have to come back and like the other gentleman was saying about, I think you said Malcolm X said about land, I'm finished.
Well, no, that's so true because Booker T. Washington, once he got the land, he built buildings and then, he went out and sought and got one of the most world's renowned scientists, which happened to be a black man by the name of George Washington Carver. And he grew peanuts and different things. He was just a brilliant man, mass inventor. So we're very talented people, and we have to return back to our roots if we're going to be successful and to survive, because letting others set the pace is just not going to get it no more. You'll find yourself in one of those pine boxes. So we just got to come together and not just be talkers about it, but be doers about it.
Right, right. let me tie this thing together, right? So I want to go back to the first caller, and you talked about a return to. So let me try to put these pieces together. So we really need to return to God, right? Because God in the beginning said, be fruitful and multiply, right? And so that's where the land comes in, like you talked, that last caller talked about, right? And so farming in America, you know, they had land grants, but it just gave land away to people to produce, to develop, which is along the same lines. That the key word for farming is plantation for enslaved people, right? So with the land grants, they develop wealth, right? And so now it comes to that second caller, Evelyn, that talked about we need money. We need to be able to understand how they use the system to develop power, right? So I think it's tying it all in together. We have to produce. We have to be able to, like the last caller said, we have to be able to purchase some land and use our money. We developed out of a consumer economy. Where do we go from here? We have to be able to have some strategies that we can use to get this thing going in a very positive and productive way. Caller, anybody else out there want to chime in before we've got almost 8 minutes left in the show? This is great. Talk to me, caller.
I would like to jump in for a minute to bring to your attention, Marvin, if you like to hear what I'm getting ready to say. Back, it was about 18, 19 years ago, your stepfather, your father died. And before he died, he told you about land. Because you're going to be needing it for the community. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was spoken to you about land. Right? Get some land and have a garden for those in the community, because there's going to come a time you're going to need that. So that just came back to my remembrance. I wanted to share that with you because it's very important now, and we are on the subject of land.
Yeah, and I just want to say one last thing. You know, we've seen what land did for America and how it built America. Everywhere around, we have these examples. The template is already there. Nothing has really changed. The same economic model as far as buying land, textiles, into the world market is something that we can do. You know, so there's no secret to, you know, how to generate wealth. It's already been done before. We study it. We can repeat it. Obviously, minus the slaves. but this is. I don't want to give the wrong impression.
Let's get the ball rolling. Let's get the ball rolling then. I pledge the first $1,000 toward those entrepreneurs who want to buy land so that we can develop our own.
All right.
Okay.
All
so
right.
So that's your first $1,000 right there.
Okay.
All right. That is empowerment, and that's what this conversation is all about. The more that we can become empowered, the more we can use these models, politics, economics, health, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education, along with God, right, that we can become the great people that we were born to be. Go ahead, Carla. Somebody wanted to chime in.
Hi, this is Yolanda. I was just going to say I agree with what everyone has said, particularly about land. You know, land is generational. And in our paradigm of thinking, particularly in the Black community, we don't always think about what's next because we're so built to live in survival mode that we sometimes have yet to hit that threshold of thriving. And a lot of times thriving comes with thinking past what you need, right? So land, generational wealth, and building those types of things based in the way we came and have been, continue to be oppressed in America. And I think that we have to look for our degrees of freedom. And so based on, you know, what the other callers have said, the agenda, and what I think Alvin had said about the agenda, I think we also have to look at the context clues, because they aren't going to tell us everything. But I do know this. I know that we have to look at how particularly this administration really was caring about who was dying from COVID-19 until they saw the face of who was dying, which was black and brown people. Oh. And then there was a push to open and reopen for the economic for the economy, the same way history repeats itself, right? The same way as we look at the Civil War. And even prior to that, the economy was on the backs of black people. And I think, and again, once again, it's on the backs of black and brown people, regardless of their health. And so I think we have to situate ourselves, again, based on what everybody else said, in a way that is not just thinking in the moment, but also figuring out ways to get past the survival mode and think more generationally and collectively.
Well, it takes substance to be able to live and to be able to function. And if we allow this pandemic to just control us, then we put ourselves in the same situation as those who are just perishing without any hope. And so we have to have some reality to come out of this here. Or even in the midst of it, there's going to be survivalists, but survivalists have learned how to survive, and so I think that we want to be able to survive, and we want to be able to prosper in the midst of this pandemic. We cannot just sit back and allow what's happening to continue just to have its toll.
True. Well, we're coming up on 3 minutes, and we're going to go into our speed round. So we're going to offer our callers a last word as we begin to wrap this up. It's been a great show, and thank you so much. Caller number one, are you there? What do you have for our speed round?
For me?
Yes.
The only thing I can leave with you put God first. I'm in the spiritual part of this. You put God first, and everything else comes after that. Your money, your finances, your land, and all.
Mm-hmm.
He said he will supply your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's my glory.
Alvin, thank you. Alvin, what do you have?
Oh, I agree 1,000%. You must buy land, but also you must invest your money in the future. It's all a money game. It's a money play. So figure out how to move your money around, and that will generate you wealth.
All right. 7789 caller, what do you have?
Generational, man. Generational. We have to learn how to work for our last name and temporarily forget about our first name. I'll yield the rest of my time.
All right. Yolanda, what do you have?
Just an agreeance. I think the collectivity and just trying to educate each other, I think is going to be important. And I think we need to learn how to speak the language of all of our community and not just a select few, right? I think we have a lot of educated people. We don't have a lot of people who are willing to be flexible in their language and their communication so that we're all on board and not just a few.
All right. We'll wrap it up with Stan. Great job, callers.
Well, I think we have a prime opportunity not just to be hearers of what we need to do, but to be doers. I wonder how many still have the stimulus money they got. That's basically free money, you might say. You know, if you had 100 people put that together, that's $100,000. I mean, you know, I'm willing to, like I said, I put my money out there. You know, if we can pool compounded money together to be able to make a difference, that's what it's all about. Let's not just talk about it. Let's be about it. Let's do it.
All right. Let's not talk about it. This is the show, Empowerment 365. It's 365 days. A motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Come back next week, 2:00 Eastern, for the Empowerment Show. Thank you so much for calling today. and we look forward to talking.
Oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been true.